Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for today that we can come together and be in your presence and just love you, Lord. Lord, help us to see how you want to use us in our community, how you want to use us in our families, how, Lord, that you want our relationship with you to grow deeper with you intimately. Lord, there's so many distractions that just say they get in the way so easily. Lord, help us to see those distractions and just to put them off and to not be overtaken by the desires of the flesh, by the enemy's influence, by discouragement from others. But Lord, help us to hear your voice and see where you're moving. And give us the courage to walk with you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, if you'd like to stand, we're in Philippians 4:4-7. You can see on your notes, if you got those, it's part four. It's called Guarded Today. Philippians 4:4-7. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Be gentle. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your word. You may be seated. As it's been a couple weeks, but in the last, our last message was on that verse 6 about being anxious for nothing. So has God given you the freedom from the fear, from fear and anxiety? Has he given you freedom from that? Because we talked about that, and Lord, would you deliver us from those things that causes it? Did you go to God with those fears and see what he had to show you through it? And what areas did he show you that you might have the fear? You might not even realize you had one, but then he shows you that fear. And did he show you the root of what causes it so he can rip it out and show you what it is? Now, I hope that you spent time and looked with the Lord over those last weeks. And as he's speaking to you, it's whenever he speaks to you something in a message or something that a friend says, it's not to be taken lightly, because God is trying to renew your mind, to help you think in a different way, to give you courage to lay something down before him. You know, maybe he brought somebody into your life that struggles with that same thing. And you don't have to be already through the struggle to be able to say, well, now I can speak into somebody's life because I have been successful through the fear and anxiety. You can be in the midst of it, and God brings somebody to you. How are you getting through this? I don't know how to do this. Well, I'm praying to God. I'm trusting in God. I'm going to him. I need him to help me through. And that's the encouragement they need. Maybe that's the direction that they have. And you give it to them because you're showing them how to walk. And then you say, I'll walk alongside you with this. Well, today we're going to continue where we left off with those fears and disappointments. But we're also going to look at how God's peace will guard our hearts and our minds from the enemy's manipulation. Especially in those times of fear and concern, the enemy can, we feel like we're not on stable ground, don't we? It's kind of a little shaky. I just don't know. And sometimes the I don't knows bring fear and doubt. And that doubt makes us just kind of stop where we're at. But God's peace says he's going to surpass everything. If we look back in verse 7, it says, "And the peace of God it'll rise, or it will surpass all the mind or the intellect or the reason, and it's going to guard," and it'll do this in the future tense, the future, "it will guard our hearts and our thoughts in Christ Jesus." That's what the peace of God does. In the midst of, I have no idea what's going on, his peace will do all of that for us. Have you ever been in a situation where people are looking at it, it seems like everything's falling apart, and you're like, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Why? Not just because I don't think it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay because Jesus is walking with me right now. And he's given me this peacefulness that it's only from him. And it's only from him. And there's going to be a reason why that peace comes. It's only from him. And we'll look at that a little bit. We see here Paul uses two words. He uses the word comprehend and in minds. If you're looking in the King James, NIV, NASB. And they're rooted in this word. It's called gnosko, which means that to learn something or come to know. So these two words are rooted in this one. And it's interesting that he uses these two words because he wants us to understand something a little bit because they have a little bit of depth to them. The word comprehension is better translated as mind. So it's the understanding faculties of putting together something to understand. So it's the mind, that part of the mind that says this is where your thoughts are born. So when we go back and we read that, we can actually take out the word comprehension, and the peace of God surpasses all that your mind actually will comprehend. All that your mind will think about, that's what the peace of God is going to surpass. Now think about that for a second, because that's powerful. That's really powerful. Every single thought that is born here, God's peace can overcome it. I don't think about everything that's peaceful. The world brings so many different aspects into life that go, that's a concern. I mean, you look at the news and you see, well, could we go into another world war? The way things are going, it's possible. That's a little concerning. But God says, I'll take that thought in that circumstance and I will make it have peace in your mind. Peace in your heart. God says that's what he's going to do. The next word, mind, that is translated is really better translated as thoughts. So it's the understanding of the individual thoughts of thinking that's going to produce the outcome. It's the outcome of the thought process. So everything that I'm going to think about and the outcome of it will be covered in peace. And Paul also points out the heart aspect as well, which denotes all of the center of the physical and spiritual life. It also incorporates in scripturally the mind and the soul, understanding, my character, my will, my emotions, desires, my appetites, as all of those things. So when we look back and we see Paul say, it'll guard your hearts and your minds. So your emotions, your desires, your will, your thoughts, every single individual thought, it will cover every single one of those. It will guard. It's like a shield. God, it's like this peace that God gives is like this shield that goes before us, that all of these things start to come, and it's like it's guarding my mind so I do not get swayed and go in the wrong direction. Or I start to doubt who he is. Isn't that what the enemy wants to do all the time? Wants us to doubt who God really is. Is he really, really there for you? But look at your circumstances. Look at everything that you're going through. Is he really, really there? Come on. Does God really, really love you? Just think about yourself. Think about all the things that you think about and do that are ungodly. Can God really forgive you for all of those things? Well, I'm so glad that my neighbor came to that understanding that he will forgive me for everything that I've ever done. Because that peace overtook the doubt. The truth covered up. So we have this battle of the mind that's going to be taking place with us. Paul is speaking to the church in Philippi, which is a Greek colony a lot of Greek mindset would be there. Paul is, in the Greek mindset, the people would be divided into two categories, either the material and the immaterial. So you have the physical, and then you have the spirit, soul, thoughts, the immaterial part. In the Hebrew mindset, it can be made of two parts or even possibly three, which would be the body and the spirit, or the mind, body, and the spirit. There's a lot of debate on which it is. Are we made up of two parts, or are we made up of actually three parts? But what I want you to understand from a Paul's perspective as a Jew speaking about Hebrew thought, it didn't really matter about the parts. It matters about how the parts work as a whole. So when Paul looks at these and he's talking about the mind and the heart, which are two immaterial aspects, right? The mind is what things that I think about. my heart is my will and my desires. These aren't physical things. Paul isn't separating the physical out of it, but he's putting a point, and he's making us focus on the immaterial parts of us, because those are where we're influenced the most in life, aren't we? We can physically be hurt, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to affect our mind and the way we desire things. But he looks at it as a whole. So the heart and mind will be together in unison, working together. So Paul's talking about this battle that we're going to have that's in the mind and in the heart. Because what our minds are set upon, what our hearts are set upon, that is what will direct our lives. If our mind is set upon things that will not give us peace, then our lives will not have peace in them. Our concerns will take that form of what our peace is. It'll look like that object. For example, we go through a struggle in life. Sometimes people turn to drugs and alcohol for peace. That is the peace that they look for. I need to calm the hurt. I need to calm what I'm struggling with. So I'm going to go to this substance, and they abuse the substance, and because that becomes their peace. And we see it in their lives and how destructive we see, and they even know possibly that it's destructing them. Or maybe it might be food. Food becomes my peace. Maybe it's behaviors like anger. My peace to handle life is going to be anger. I'm going to push people away. I'm going to build a wall around me, and this is going to be my peace inside it, but it's going to be formed with anger. Stop it and get away from me. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's apathy. Well, I don't want to give too much, because if I give too much, then I might be hurt. So I'm just going to kind of just lay low and just kind of do my own thing. So apathy could be your peace. Maybe it's control. Well, if I'm in control, then nobody can hurt me, and that's what gives me peace. Maybe it's all the distractions in life. Man, I can't deal with the thoughts of life, because life is hurtful, isn't it? It's painful. I can't deal with it, so I'm going to distract myself as much as possible. I'm going to go to movies. I'm going to go to concerts. I'm going to have fun with my friends. I'm going to go travel. I'm just going to see the world. I'm going to distract myself so I don't have to deal with the hurtful issues in life, because that becomes my peace. These will produce that byproduct, whatever that byproduct is for each one of those. That's what our peace is going to look like in our situation. But Paul, he says, don't do that, friends. Don't do that. That's the wrong way to go. Don't do that. He encourages us, the only place to go is to turn to the Lord. And if we look back in verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Only go to God with everything that you're dealing with. All these struggles, all these fears, all these anxieties, go to Him with absolutely everything, and God's peace is going to cover your mind before it starts trailing off and creating more and more problems. And as you trail off and create more and more problems, the enemy is there saying, yes, I've got them exactly where I need them. They're not going to God with their problems. They're going to this or that or this or that. And I will walk in those, and I will encourage them to continue to do it. And it's going to be okay for them. You know, there's a personal testimony. When Michelle and Elisha went to Romania a couple weeks ago, I had a dream about 2 years ago that it was just me and Carissa. And the implication in the dream was that Elisha and Michelle had died. And it was just me and Carissa. It's a dream. But sometimes dreams affect you, don't they? And sometimes they affect you a little bit longer, because sometimes, I know God speaks through dreams. Sometimes He speaks them, sometimes He doesn't, sometimes I don't know. Sometimes dreams feel realer than other ones. And this one felt kind of real. So in the back of my mind for years, I'm okay. It's like, but you got that in control, God. You got that in control, God. Well, then Michelle says, hey, we're going to go last year. I'm going to take Elisha and me, and we're going to go to Romania. I'm going, ooh, wait a minute. And the thought comes, could this be the dream? So for that, I don't know how many months, 9 months, going, okay, God, you're in control of that. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. So I told Michelle before she left, she said, well, I'll just cancel the trip then. It's like, no, you can't do that. Can't do that. God is in control of this. I have to let him be in control of this because this is my fear and it's not reality. We prayed. They go on their trip and God gives me this tremendous peace. Tremendous. I was like, not even concerned that they're going to be. The thought comes, God's got this good. It's just the peace was there. God had given it. I talked to Michelle and I was like, how you doing? I was like, you know, God's given me this great peace. I mean, I'm fine. You know, we're having a great time here. But he had no idea that I had the dream about that. But the day before they're coming back, the enemy starts to come in. It's like, oh, hey, what if? What if it's the plane ride back? And it's like, okay, thank you, Lord, for Philippians 4:6 and 4:7, because I'm going, okay, I need to take this to the Lord right now. Lord, you have, this is in your control. If you take them, Lord, you're gonna help me. You're going to get me through life. But Lord, I trust you with that. I trust you. Okay, thought comes, God, you are the one. I trust you. It happened all day long. And God said, hey, are you going to bring it to me? Or are you going to kind of blow it off and just kind of push it off to the side and let it fester there? Because if I let it fester there, it's going to bother me and it's going to affect me in the way I live life, things that I do, how I handle people, how I handle my daughter at that point. It's going to affect. God wants us to take everything to him, every single moment. When we know that it's not right, when it's fearful, we need to take it to him. And let him be God and not try to handle it on our own. Praise God, they came back and everything was okay. But God had to get me through that journey. And he wants us to take everything to him. That's just one issue. What issue is it for you that you have to take to God every single moment? If you have to do it all day long, do it until you have deliverance. Do it until it doesn't affect you anymore, because what happens is that your trust builds and your confidence becomes secure in him. You allow him to be God. I have no control if they live or die. I have to let God have control of that. And when I do, his peace guards my heart, guards my mind, and keeps me on a path that is victorious in him. It is 12:05 right now. It's been a long morning. I think we'll continue this step going forward next week, because there's a lot more to go. And what we've already talked about is a lot to even think about. Take it in baby steps. I have a fearful thought. I need to take it to Jesus. Can we do that this week? Because what's going to end up happening is that your relationship with God is going to be constant. Because there's going to be things throughout the week that are going to come up. And if they don't come up for you, you're going to be able to be there and stand in the gap for somebody else. Somebody else is going to share a fear. And you're going to be able to share what you do and how you walk with God, and how you let him lift you up, and how you let his peace guard your heart. It might be that somebody who has an addiction of any sort, this might be what they need to see it to be delivered from, is to walk with somebody who knows how to let God's peace rule their life. Because we're all in the same boat. They're all in the same boat. Everything happens to all of us, and we all have to make a decision. And I'm going to end on this note. Oftentimes you hear, and it's a poor theology, God's got it in control, so I don't have to do anything. It's partly right. God is in control, but he asks us and expects us to respond to him. He expects us to take his truth and to implement it into our lives. He expects us to say, God, I will trust you. You're in control. If I just throw it out there and say, God, you're in control, and I kind of just float, I'm not doing my job in my relationship with him. I need to say, I trust you, and now I'm going to walk with you in it. And I'm going to let you show me victory in this. Sam Hughes, if you'd like to come and sing the last song. If there's something that's the Lord has been speaking into your life today that you would like prayer over, please come up and we'll pray for you. If you'd like us to come to your seat, we'll come and pray for you at your seat. If not, just enjoy God's presence and let him minister to your heart. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your message, Lord, that you desire for us to come to you with absolutely every single worry, every single doubt, every single frustration, so that you and your peace can guard us so that we don't walk away, that we don't walk defeated, that we can walk with power and strength and joy and peace in the midst of no matter what circumstance we're in. Lord, that is your promise and that is your truth. Lord, help us to walk in that this week. As we spend time with you and you share with us how to do that, may we continually go to you each moment. In Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen.